Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Hey, Saturday, the Daily Mix Morning Show is coming your way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they're hanging for a free party. Sunrise DeMayo, what they're calling it.
Sunrise DeMayo
from noon until 2 at the Red Dog. Unlike the radio host that we had many years ago that we knew from a different radio station, we had a quacky idea.
Oh, God.
For Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. What we're going to do, Mike, is we're going to get a sink.
Okay.
And we're going to fill it full of mayonnaise.
A sink of mayo. Oh.
Cinco.
This guy was very sad.
De Mayo.
I'm running into the office and he says, hey, man, this is what I'm going to do. I got a sink and I'm going to fill it full of mayonnaise. And here's his quote.
Mm-hmm.
You get it? I said, I do.
They're doing Sunrise de Mayo. Noon until 2, absolutely free. They say bring the kids, bring the dogs. If you have any friends, bring them too. And hang out at the Red Dog from noon until 2. Again, that's a free party with the morning show.
We drinking tequila sunrises?
That would not be a bad idea. Saturday weather's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah.
I know Sunday we're throwing we're not throwing a little party, but we're drinking with some listeners. And, so, I mean, you could double
it's
up.
It's a private little soiree.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, they paid for it. We're helping Coats for Kids.
That is correct.
And they bid on our little drinking afternoon. They had no idea what they were getting themselves into.
Mm-hmm.
They will know it when they wake up on Monday morning. All right, let's see here. It is the random Would You Rather question, 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Brock. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Brock, welcome to the program. Here you go on your random Would You Rather. Okay, Brock. Would you rather enter every room by jumping through the doorway with an imaginary pistol drawn? You know that guy.
Right.
Boom.
Sure.
You know, all right. Or always make your orgasm face when smiling for a picture.
No. Oh, no.
So any picture you're in, you got to have the O face on. Or anytime you enter a room or any door, you have to jump through with an imaginary pistol and check the parameters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
All right. Well, so that I don't even like my orgasm face. Not that I've seen it a bunch, but yeah, that would be a definite no on that one.
Nobody likes their own orgasm. It looks like when you're about to sneeze, you look your worst in spite of feeling your best, right? I mean, that's how that works.
I'm taking that one every time because I'm going to get shot the other way.
Yeah, okay.
Look, if I walk into a bar I don't know, and I don't know, maybe I'm Bismarck, North Dakota, jump through, someone's going to go.
No, they're going to look at you like a weirdo.
See, yeah, you got a finger gun,
dude.
I got
a finger gun, but they don't know that right away.
Yeah, they do.
We can see your finger.
I'm just not the guy. I'm the guy they never see.
You're the way to go.
Busting through.
Boom, boom, boom. You got to come in there. You own it.
I feel like that's easier to explain than the O face during the picture.
I would do the orgasm face because most of the pictures, if someone takes a picture of me and I'm aware of it, 98% of the time, I make a face.
Sure.
So even if I just have to go orgasm face, it fits in with what I'm already doing.
Sure.
It's probably the worst face I can offer you, but I'd hope to not have to explain it.
I still think it would be
But that said, I would like to jump through the door with the finger guns.
That would be fine without the threat of getting shot.
real quick, I wanted my son turns 21 today, so I wanted to tell him happy birthday on the air.
21.
Yeah.
What do you think he's going to do tonight?
What did you name him?
No, I'm meeting him up right now. He's being a pain in my butt because he's like giving me different places to take him out to, and it's like, come on, dude, where are we going? Let's go.
What's his name?
Elliot.
Okay. All right.
What are the options? Where do you think about taking him?
Well, no, I was going to take him to the Elks and Ballard and stuff. But he wants to go to, like, Dave and Buster's. And I thought it'd be more fun to just sit outside on the deck and do stuff like that. But
yeah, you're showing your old side, man. I would be right there with you.
No,
I'm right there with you, Brock. Like, look, man, you can go to Dave and Buster's with your friends.
Seriously.
Dad, we're going to sit at the bar, and I'm going to tell you some things you don't want to know about me.
We're going to drink in the sunshine while we can. I'm not going inside right now.
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah. So that's all good. I mean, it's his birthday, so I'm going to do what he wants to do.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah. You go, or what's the one in Ballard that has skee ball and stuff? Go to King's Hardware.
Random.
Actually, you know what's funny? My buddy, his son's 13. But him and his friends go to Dave and Buster's. Seems like every couple of weeks that he's like, it's great, man.
Oh, they love it. The kids have fun.
But he likes it, too.
Because every once in a while, I'll leave the bar. You go to play a game. They're going to have a game that you like. Whether you're sitting on the motorcycle, shooting stuff, air hockey, ping pong, you know, it's all there. I'm not as invested as they are, but, like, basically, when I get up from the bar, I'm going to go have fun. When I'm done having fun, I'm going to go get a beer. That is a win-win.
Yeah, the one at Bellevue hosts a lot of the Maryland alumni, like, get-togethers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, solid place. Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Justin, welcome to the program. The random would-you-rather question.
All right.
Justin, in this case, you are a dad. Would you rather your kid mess up a $57 million piece of art or your kid get you fined $350,000 from your workplace?
This is easy. I'm taking the art piece for one reason. There is zero chance I'm really going to be on the hook for it. Like, I understand. There's going to be some punishment. There's no doubt. But it's $57 million. Like, guys, you can do what you want. We all know damn well you will never get that money from me. As for work, they'll be like, oh, no. We'll take installments.
We'll take it out of your check.
Yeah, we will find it. We will take it.
You cannot leave
out of your check.
But then you have to say, I'm leaving the job.
Right. Exactly.
If you wanted to skate.
But you still got to pay the fine. Right?
Yeah. Or you might have to pay for the repair of the art.
That's got to be less than $350. I don't know. What are you thinking, man?
So the immediate thing that came to mind was that story about the drunk girl sitting on the toothpick chair.
Yeah.
And I can't get that out of my mind, but I have my two boys do it. So that's what I'm doing.
Okay. You're going to take the art piece. Well, I don't think she ever paid a dime. I mean,
that's proof
to your argument.
Yeah. Because the one thing is, you know, you'll get in trouble. It is bad press. There is all this stuff. But inevitably, a $57 million piece of art has insurance.
Mm-hmm.
If my work is coming after me, I'm just straight up on the hook.
The reason we asked, your kid messes up a $57 million piece of art, or your kid gets you fined from work, $350,000. During what a museum spokesman called an unguarded moment, a child in the Netherlands damaged a painting worth nearly $57 million. Mark Gothko's gray, orange, on maroon number 8.
Oh, no, not that one.
Was on display at the Museum von Blumenthal in Rotterdam. Rotterdam.
God, I've heard a lot about that place lately.
Really?
Yeah, my buddy's kid's thinking about going to school in that town.
Okay.
I watch enough of those drug smuggling shows, and it's the number one port for ecstasy or MDMA to go through.
And that's why the kid wants to go there.
Wow. Okay.
He is a DJ.
I'm just saying.
Oh, he knows what he's doing, yeah. Man.
I don't know, Rotterdam. I'm just thinking of it.
His girlfriend is German.
Rotterdam.
Even better.
per the spokesman, small scratches are visible in the unvarnished paint layer in the lower part of the painting. But even such superficial damage can have a big impact, they say, on painting like this due to the materials used and other factors such as lack of varnish. Restoration efforts are currently underway. The museum has not been given an estimate for how much that could cost. The spokesperson did say that the 1960 painting, which is 7 feet, 6 inches high by 8 feet, 6 inches wide.
Dang, that's getting it done.
Is expected to be back on display eventually. Now, they do say other Rothko works have suffered damage in the past.
Damn, Rothko.
Including one
Rothko
was,
P. Coltrane.
Vandalized in London in 2012. And the museum in question is also no strangers to incidents like this. In 2011, a tourist accidentally stepped on Wim T. Shipper's peanut butter floor artwork titled Pindakvasilor, and was asked by the institution to pay for the repairs. So people who have done damage have
put
been
it
asked
on the
before.
Floor. I get it. If you put an art installation on the floor and it's some peanut butter, if this is one of those modern art, I'm getting away with murder pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I forgive them. On the wall, like Ted was very, very excited about yesterday, you know damn well you don't touch it.
Correct. Right. Now the other half of the story.
But and also that's a kid.
True. It's still $57 million. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like,
Jax Ulbrich, the 21-year-old son of Atlanta Falcons defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, probably won't be involved in any more prank calls. NFL says they have fined the Falcons coach, by the time it's said and done, $350,000, essentially.
The coach or the organization?
NFL says the Falcons have fined.
The organization, I believe, is fining the coach.
They are, the Falcons have... No. Jeff Ulbrich.
So the NFL, I believe, fined the coach $250,000, and then they fine the team $250,000, and the coach
$100,000. All right, okay. I see $350,000.
Which
total.
The team will be taking out of that coach's check.
So the NFL is issuing a $350,000 collective
fine. Divided.
It's divided amongst the two.
Okay.
What is his position, coach?
He is the defensive coordinator.
Ooh.
I'm sure he makes a lot of, but honestly, dude, I don't know that, like, he might not make like $350,000.
Oh, he makes $350,000. The defensive coordinator at UW almost makes $1 million.
Yeah, then he's doing all right.
Yeah, I think college coaches make more.
Well, then you're probably right.
You know what? That's a good point.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I got to say for the record, I think that is 100% BS, right? Did you find, no organization got fined last year when it happened to Cooper DeJean or DeJean.
I don't know.
Did we find the other guy? Like, I know it's higher visibilities at Sanders, but like, I don't know. Like, come on.
Well, Jax, the son, he was seated next to a friend who pretended to be New Orleans Saints general manager, Mickey Loomis. So, basically, Jax got the phone number, but he wasn't the one doing the prank call.
All right.
He wasn't the one going, I got a hell of a set of tools or whatever. The friend said that Saints would draft Sanders, revealed the call was a prank. The Falcons said Jax spotted Sanders' phone number on his dad's iPad, and he kind of just wrote it down for use later. We appreciate the NFL swift and thorough review of last week's data exposure. That's according to the Falcons. Probably expected to say that. We are proactive in addressing the situation initially. We have accepted the discipline levied to Coach Ulbrich and the organization. Sanders, by the way, said this. He wasn't bothered by it for the most part. He said that the son, by the way, they said the son will do some community service initiatives. But he also apologized to everyone. He apologized to Sanders in a statement. Hey, what I did completely inexcusable, embarrassing, and shameful.
Sorry, I grew up a millionaire. I'm about to get millions again.
Cool. I'm so sorry I took away from your moment. It was selfish, childish. I could never imagine getting ready to celebrate one of the greatest moments. Please forgive me, blah, blah, blah. And Sanders did say, hey, no sweat. No big deal.
He said it on the live feed with his brother Shiloh like 10 minutes after that.
Yeah.
He's like, it's probably somebody's son, one of these coaches.
Because that's the only
also,
way
the Sanders family, I've heard, should have hired an agent because the agent would have got you one of those special phones and numbers. It would have gone to the clubs that have interest in you.
Right.
He didn't have that. So then the NFL had to go and get the phone and number and give it to every single, all 32 clubs.
Right.
So like the Falcons were never even in it. There's no reason they should have had that number.
Or, yeah. I was wondering why you don't have a burner phone in that instance.
I thought the NFL actually gave them burner phones specifically for the draft. So if you got a call, it's not your mother going, did you remember to turn on the oven? It's, look, if that phone rings, someone in the NFL is talking to you.
Right.
Correct.
And so nobody else.
So, but generally, the agents do that.
Right.
Right? So let's say it's just us four in this room, right? All of us own a team. But only Mike and I have interest in Sanders. Then the agent would only give those that phone number to Mike and I.
All right, let me ask you a
question. You two wouldn't need it. So that's what I'm saying. That's where people are saying they kind of fumbled this one, was that since they didn't have an agent, the NFL went, okay, we'll give you this phone, but we got to give your number to all 32 teams.
Right. Hypothetical. But I'm one of those teams where I say to myself, look, I will always take the next best athlete in the draft, mm-hmm. regardless of whether I need that position or not.
Yeah.
I have no plans to draft Sanders. I am now on the clock. How the hell did he get to the third round? My philosophy as a...
Because it depends. Look, that
general
means
general manager is, I need that guy's phone number now.
Because there's something more to it than that. That means there's something that you, off camera, off the field, what something personally where you are not comfortable with. Because you're right, you take the next best player, period. But if that guy drops that far, you kind of go, all right, this guy potentially.
Well, what I'm saying is I never would have picked him if he wouldn't have been available in the fourth round.
Yeah, so but again, he's a quarterback. So I'm with you. I like the philosophy you get to later rounds, take the best athlete. But, like, you already got a full quarterback room. You don't need him. And also,
yeah,
here's the big
round,
deal.
Right.
His when it got close to it, people were like, I think he's a better backup. I don't want to draft him as a quarterback. And then you start going, do I want this circus around? Right? Same with Tim Tebow. Most people don't want to hear this. But Tim Tebow, that's why nobody wanted to bring him on. Or if they asked him to change positions and he was like, no, I'm a quarterback. Well, nobody was going to bring him into the quarterback room. So there was going to be this massive circus around
him. For a guy who you knew would fail.
Yeah.
I mean, at that position, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, he did beat the Steelers in a playoff.
Right. Yes, I'll always remember that.
Maybe we should say he was on the team that beat the Steelers in the playoff.
If I beat the Steelers in the playoff, I don't care. I'm talking about that for the rest of my life. That is my, other than the two national championships.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, and look, Tim Tebow, I'll argue all the time, one of the greatest college quarterbacks of all time.
Sure.
He just didn't have an NFL skill set.
No.
Like, I mean, look, people forget as we're so used to it, but Josh Allen played at Wyoming. They weren't good, but he physically has an NFL body and skill set.
And he's figured it out.
Yeah. Tim Tebow, not good.
I'm gonna look could it up. Beat the Steelers in the playoffs.
Tim Tebow's stat line, though, I got to look it up for that game. It's something ridiculous.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
I think he only threw the ball like three times.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I think it's great. How the Steelers in the playoffs? They lost to Tebow.
That's right.
I'm just saying.
He did it.
Hero in Baltimore. Hello, Seth. Welcome to the men's room.
Tebow. Hola.
Hola. Actually, that'd be T-Bay.
Mm-hmm. Seth, welcome to the program. And a random would you rather question. Let's go with this one. Seth, would you rather have had sex with a goat, okay? But no one knows, and no one will ever know that you had sex with a goat.
You're talking to Seth who had sex with a goat?
Yeah. Seth, you had sex with a goat. No one will ever find out. Or you never had sex with a goat, but everyone believes and will not be turned around that you did not. So no matter what your proof, whatever you say, it doesn't matter. You are the guy that had sex with a goat, even though you didn't do it. So would you rather have sex with a goat, no one knows, mm-hmm. or never, but everyone believes that you did?
Yeah, I'm taking the first option.
You're going to have sex with a goat?
I'm right there with you, Seth. Like, look, man, I'm not proud, but nobody knows. As opposed to, dude, I never had sex with a goat. BS! Yes, you did. I'd rather live with my own personal guilt.
Well, what people know is what they believe. It doesn't matter what the deal is. I mean, look, Pee Wee Herman, Paul Rubens, his life was ruined because he went to an X-rated movie theater.
And did what people do there.
And he was in the theater by himself.
Yeah.
You got to remember, he was by himself. I want to say that an usher caught him or someone in the back who walked in or something like that.
It was a cop.
Yeah.
They would go there to, like, get bust.
Yeah. It's easy.
And he was there by himself.
Pun intended.
Doing his thing. Unfortunately, he was the lead of a children's show.
Yes. Right. So, that was the only thing.
But I mean,
because it was Pee Wee, and he ended up doing fine. Riding out a couple years, come back, and people were happy to see him. I want to say it was like the MTV Video Music Awards or something. It was the first time he made a public appearance after all that stuff went down. He walks out, the crowd lost its ass. Like, nobody cared. It was funny, it was a joke, but everyone's screaming and cheering for this guy. And he rolls up to the mic, and the first thing he says is,
"Hearing the good jokes lately?"
Because he was the only joke in town.
Well, and then remember that he was in Blow, just as...
As Paul Rubens.
Right.
Sure.
So I think that helped him a ton, too. Then he started getting cast and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
By the way, I was wrong. Tebow had decent stats that game. I can't believe this. I forgot this. You know, it's referred to as the 316 game. Because you always see the signs. He always wore John 316 on his
John 316, yeah.
Right. So he had 10 passes for 316 yards.
Jesus.
Oh, no, he did not.
Now, wait. Let's be honest about this. Does that mean the quarterback had a good game or statistics? Because if you throw 10 passes and you have over 300 yards, your receivers are doing the work.
Yes.
You received, like, you could have thrown a 7-yard pass and this guy ran another. So,
but he's not, man. He's throwing bombs out there. He's dropping dimes.
Just bombs, right? It was 10, 30-yard passes.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. That tells me. Like, good on him. But every time I look at those stats, man, he threw for 300 and some yards and nearly completed this many passes. I'm like,
who was catching
out there? The receivers doing that.
Who was catching out there for him?
Probably
exactly.
Hines Ward.
Nobody remembers.
Demaryius Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas.
Oh, he's okay.
He had four catches for 200 yards. Jeez. Basically,
for 200 yards?
God. Basically, if I'm reading this right, they just ran the ball. Tebow ran it. They ran the ball. Then every once in a while, they would just chuck one over top. It's like, well, no, the safety is long given up.
Who do they?
on the long ball, right? It probably was Ryan Clark. At some point, you got to go, screw this.
Yeah.
I'm pressing the line.
Right.
There's no way he's going to throw it. And then a couple times he chucked it.
Damn. It's crazy that Thomas is not around anymore, too. I forgot all about that.
Yep.
More of the random Would You Rather question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room.
Looks like the last count up at 4:30. In the meantime, it is our random Would You Rather question, 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Dennis. Welcome to the men's room.
Random.
Hello, Dennis.
Can you hear me?
Ah, there we go.
I got you, Dennis. All right, Dennis, this one is just for you. All right, pick one. Would you rather take your chances on a 60-foot fall to a street below or take your chances in a plane crash?
I'd have to go with a plane crash.
You want the plane crash? What's your thought on this?
I just feel like there might be some chance that there might be a parachute or something that I could, like, steal from somebody. I don't know. Or maybe
steal from somebody. That's where your mind. Not that they have given me, but that I'm going to steal from somebody.
I think
you've already set the scenario in your head. It's mass pandemonium on the plane. You don't care.
It just
you're
depends.
Taking that little old lady's parachute.
In my mind, it just depends on how the plane crashes and how lucky you can be.
Well, we don't know. That's why you're taking your chances.
Well, I will take the plane crash.
Really?
Because I cannot deal with a free fall. I have nightmares.
It's still
about
a free
falling.
Fall, but it's in a plane, man.
I realize that, but
you
for
just
some,
feel better being inside of something.
Correct. For whatever reason, I don't experience it the same way in my mind.
Okay. Now let me ask you this. Now, say it's a 747, right? Yeah, I got to think you take some comfort in the fact that you're not alone. Everyone is experiencing what you're experiencing.
Right.
What if there's just like three of you in a small plane?
So, for an example, I think of it this way too. So a lot of people who fall off of a cliff, who are hikers or whatever in the area, all right, they will fall from a ledge 30 feet, boom, hit, then fall another 50, then this is just, boom.
Sure.
So
how many times do you want to hit?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
you're doing the Homer Simpson. I just want to boom.
I want to be in a plane. I think.
All right.
I think a plane is the best.
I don't think
say
either
it
one's
again.
I
how
do.
Far was the drop?
60 feet.
Or a plane crash.
The one thing about the 60-foot drop, this is my only defense of it, because I don't like either scenario, but if I survive the initial hit, I don't fear that I'm going to burst into flames. You know, nothing like that. Like, the plane comes with so many other problems. There's the crash. Then there's the engines. The thing bursts into flames. And then there's getting out of the freaking thing.
I'm just trying to figure out what 60 feet is on a building out there.
Well,
so it's probably two lines down from the optimum side. That's 60 feet, right?
All right, so we're looking at a building across the street.
I'm sure that's Optum Healthcare.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's two below the Optum.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Two lines below.
Man, I don't know.
No.
You taking a plane?
I'm with Miles. I'm taking the plane. I don't give a damn. At that height, no. I will strap myself into the doggone seat, assume the position, and hope for the best. I ain't falling from that really, crap.
What is the position?
You know what the position is. You sit in the seat, and then you head between the knees.
I just want to know if you
kiss your ass goodbye.
There you go.
Okay, but look. Okay, there's also other strategies. You know this plane's going to crash.
Here we go.
You know it's going to crash. What if the plane has a small bathroom in the back?
Okay.
I mean, maybe you go in there and you lock the door.
So? What's that going to do?
Because you're in a confined area. Maybe the back of the tail breaks.
That's going to be worse.
Yeah, dude.
Maybe.
Is that where, well, on a smaller plane, that's not where the fuel is.
Okay.
But you're going to bounce around in there. I think you have a bigger...
Well, they always say you have a better chance in the back of the plane.
You have a better chance of crashing into the cockpit and trying to land that thing on its belly. Shows.
We know. The best chance is in the back of the plane.
Not in the bathroom, though.
Right.
Your chances go through the roof because now you're bouncing around.
You're
right?
Just going to be blue when you die.
You know what I mean? Like Spider-Man.
Why not just the seat in the back row?
Lock in.
No! You're traveling at 400 miles an hour.
Sorry, dude. You're not that strong.
Okay.
What are you taking, Ted? 60 feet, plane crash.
I think I'm taking 60 foot.
All right. Here you go. That's good news for you, Ted. An 80-year-old woman from Russia, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name of that place, can call herself lucky to be alive after falling from a window of her sixth-floor apartment and landing on top of a parked car.
So it does just happen in Russia.
That was my first thought. No one's trying to kill her, but this is the first time I've heard about a Russian falling out of a window. And they didn't get pushed. But the flip side of that is this is the first person I've heard that survived.
What is going on with window? I know what a lot of it is. But what I'm saying is, in general, this seems to be...
Easy break.
Okay. All right.
That's what it seems to be.
The accident occurred last Thursday as the unnamed octogenarian was cleaning the windows of her apartment. Now, a single moment of carelessness was enough to send her tumbling down from the sixth floor on top of a neighbor's car. The fall was actually captured by closed-circuit television cameras. It has been making the rounds on Russian social media ever since.
Yeah, but
there is video of this woman falling out of that frickin' window. Amazingly, mere moments after landing on the roof of the car, again, the 80-year-old woman, 80, manages to climb down and walk away. I don't think I know an 80-year-old person that can climb down from a car normally.
Right, just to get out of a chair.
Yes, I know 80-year-olds. She subsequently asked a neighbor for help and was admitted to a local hospital that ensured that she was all right. The woman, I guess it was her own negligence. Police confirmed that there was no foul play. They have to say that all the time there anyway. How she managed to not only survive the fall, but do so without any major injuries, especially at her age, they say, remains a mystery. Photos of the car she landed on show a sunken roof, evidence of the strong impact. I saw her lying in my car through the window. They said she was a neighbor from upstairs on the sixth floor.
He didn't even know who she was. Jesus. There's that woman in my car.
What happened to car? Who is that? Then we have the story of three people aboard a small plane. They all survived after their aircraft slammed into the side of one of the highest mountains in Vermont.
What's the highest mountain in Vermont?
Mount Washington, right?
Is that Vermont or New Hampshire?
It's Mount Equinox.
Mount Equinox. How many feet do you think it is? Vermont. I'll say 4,500.
Now I'll say 5,200.
It is not Mount Equinox, Miles. The highest mountain in Vermont is Mount Mansfield.
How tall is Mount Mansfield?
Well, they lied.
4,393 feet.
I said 45. I was close. But I overbid.
One of the highest mountains.
Salty Miles. Okay.
No, I read that wrong.
Okay.
Authorities received a report of the crash about 5 hours later after they crashed at 3:50 a.m. The survivors have not yet been identified. They were rescued a couple hours after that. They suffered non-life-threatening injuries.
We know 80-year-old lady.
One transported to a hospital. They trekked through extremely difficult conditions, the rescuers, including 4 feet of snow and rugged terrain near the top of the mountain to get to it. Maybe the snow
helped. The other people are like, yeah, I survived the plane crash.
Yeah, but maybe the snow helped.
Probably.
Because when that plane crashed in the mountains in the snow where everyone ate each other.
In the Andes?
Yes.
Ate each other, yes.
That's right. Where they make those candies. All three were evacuated to the hospital. One was airlifted to Albany Medical Center. Cause of crash not immediately clear.
The mountain was the cause of the crash.
Maybe it's softer impact when you land in snow.
I'm sure it is. I'm still in a plane crash, man. Like, that's all good and well at the... Look, it's not about anything other than the leading up to the aftermath, right? Because no matter what we pick, we're already doing a past tense. So I could find out and be like, hey, the thing about the plane crash is that I was in the snow. But that brings me no comfort.
Also,
the 60-foot drop,
when you're a plane crashing into the snow, like, it's not going to make it softer. Like, there's a certain amount, right? Like, people jump into water at higher distances than you would jump into ground.
Sure.
But also, there's a certain point where if you're high enough, like jumping into water is like jumping into concrete.
Well, that's sure, you're in a plane.
Right. You're in a plane. You're going. I'm just saying, you're going so fast. Like, that impact's still going to be brutal.
Yeah. Hmm.
And I think about the movie The Gray, Mike. That's where my head goes. Now I've crashed in a plane, and Liam Neeson. Look, I don't know if it's a good movie or not. I just enjoyed it.
Those dudes that survived that flight in the Andes, like, they're scarred to this day.
Yes.
They eat their buddies.
Well, I understand what happened afterward. What I'm saying is,
but that's what you're saying. That might
survive the crash.
Yes.
The question is, would you rather?
Okay,
crash
but now
in an
you're
airplane?
Eating your buddies. You survive. Now Miles has to be a cannibal. It's just us. Who you eating? You
know, yeah, I fall out this 60-foot window. It's pretty cut and dry. Right. I survive or I don't. This plane crash. You could survive it and then die.
You got to be
hypothermic.
But you got to be lucky enough to land on a car in that instance. So if you land in a bush, you're going to make it?
Depends on the bush. If it's a blackberry bush, it would suck.
Juniper bush? In.
All right.
Name another bush.
George.
Boxer. What is this called?
Boxwoods?
Boxwoods.
Yeah. Boxwoods.
Boxwoods. That's a good bush. Yeah. Right. Would you rather question 206-803-ROCK.
Phones are second ass.
Random. All right, I'll give you guys one. Would you rather be attacked by a red-tailed hawk or a swarm of bees?
Is this one red-tailed hawk?
No, actually, in this case, it's plural, I believe.
I'll still take the hawks.
Well, yeah, of course. It's built into your name.
That's right.
He's a falconer. He just screams their names and they land on Mike's arms.
I mean, I know I'm going to get shredded, but bees are just too freaky for me. I can't do it.
Freaky?
Yeah.
How are bees freaky? They're just bees.
Minor phobia at that
point.
Is this one time? Okay.
Is this what I'm saying? Then I will be attacked by multiple
hawks.
What I'm saying is,
not all the time.
Right, because one of the stories is still ongoing, I believe. So would you rather?
I'm going to take the bees.
So you're getting one attack. You're getting attacked by a bunch of bees or a bunch of hawks in this instance.
Is it one hawk or
don't
a bunch
you
of hawks?
Do you hate needles, Steve?
I don't hate needles. Don't bug me at all. My wife
hates
needles.
Look at his body.
There's a lot of people
that are afraid of needles that have tattoos, Ted.
As many as thrills?
Yeah.
But I think there's a difference between a stinger and a needle.
Okay.
If bee stings were as big as needles, I'd be terrified. Here's my thought. I'm taking the bees. It sucks. It sucks, but they're not going for my eyes. They don't have talons. All they can do is sting me in that.
Here are the stats. The tail of the tape. The red-tailed hawk. Average weight, 3 pounds. Females, 25% heavier than males. Flying speed, 20 to 40 miles an hour. And they can reach 120 miles an hour when diving.
120 miles an hour.
Correct. Normal top speed of a worker bee would be about 15 to 20 miles an hour. And about 12 miles per hour when returning with nectar, pollen, or water.
After they've eaten, sure.
That's correct. Well, so speed is not really a factor on this one, other than the fact that
the
hawks have speed. Well, correct.
So here's the thing.
The bees are going to get... They will catch up to you.
No, I understand you're not going to beat that. I understand.
This is not a matter of running.
Just say you're running home, right?
You're just going to run way or another. That doesn't mean you're going to get tagged 900 times.
Huh?
The thing with the bees for me is that they will outnumber me and I won't be able to get an eye for where they're all at. The hawks, if there's like two or even three of them... Yes, I'm still going to get torn up, but I can at least put up a good fight. Those bees, man, they're flying all over the damn place.
They are.
And I am covered, and I don't know where they are at any given moment.
I'm not saying it's ideal, but the bees, I just assume they're all around me. So you're swinging like a madman, as people do when they feel like there's a swarm of bees. But the hawks, look, man, they're setting up like a strategy to come get my ass, and you're telling me if he does a dive at 120 miles an hour... And he's all beak and talon, and for whatever reason hates my guts. I got a shot.
But you can see it coming. That's right.
Yeah.
Like that feeling that you have when you walk through a spider web. and you don't know
that
where that little mofo is at.
Same feeling.
It is. With me, with the bees being everywhere, like, I don't know where all these little bastards
are. I'm just saying. That's just, what are you picking, Ted?
Oh, red tail hawk.
You're taking the hawks?
Yes. Because I watched somebody the other day, and they were, like, with a beekeeper.
All right.
But they didn't have the costume on.
All right.
They just had the bees all over them. And, like, it was fine, but he was, at the end of it, they were like, how was it? He was, like, super trippy, the vibration. He was like, they didn't attack me, but he's like, I still got stung, like, 12 times.
Okay. Real quickly, construction project comes to a halt after workers are attacked by predatory birds. They were in unwelcome territory. This happened in Texas. They do not say how bad the workers were injured, so we do not know the extent of the injuries. So basically what they just said was, then they get into the whole aspect of how you can't really mess with these birds because they're protected, blah, 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 blah. But they just say construction was stopped. They do not say how many workers were injured or how
by these
badly,
hawks?
Yeah, or how badly they were.
That sounds bad to me. We can't tell you how bad it was or how many people were attacked. That means a lot and bad.
Right. Yeah, but they stopped it because of the protected aspect of the hawks.
Yeah, sure.
I'm taking the hawks on this one.
Thank you.
Really?
Yes, I am not taking the bees.
Man. That's a weird one here, Steve.
Okay, no, that's all right, man. I still feel okay with my decision. Random. Hello, Joe Dredd. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Joe, welcome to the program. And random would you rather question. What do we have for Joe Dredd? All right, let's see.
I hope it's good.
Okay. We'll stick with the theme of animals attacking. Sometimes animals being people. Would you rather, okay, fight off a cougar that was trying to attack your dog or just get into a random fist fight on vacation? So in other words, cougar's not after you. The cougar's going for your dog, but you need to fight that cougar off your dog.
All right.
Or get in a fist fight while you're on vacation with a human being.
Well, you know, I'm like any other dog person. I am a dog lover. And I do love my dog, but a cougar has...
Don't make it weird, man.
It has fangs. I'd rather get into a fist fight.
Okay, better chance you think of coming out
unscathed.
Well,
you're huge.
I'm not huge. I'm 6'3". I'm not huge.
He's also
6'3". He's tall, dude.
How old are you, 69?
Well, no, but the thing is, I'm not 6'3 and 300 pounds.
No, just say it. 6'3 is tall. The average dude is not 6'3". You have a lot of length. All right, so you're tall, not huge.
Yes, thank you. Yes. But, yeah, you know what? I'd rather get in a fist fight because most of the time, especially if you're on vacation, if two guys start throwing punches, people are going to pull them apart. So the fight isn't going to finish.
Depends where you're going. They can't try that in Atlanta.
Okay.
They're pulling their phone like,
yeah, I don't think so.
I feel like there's still a good chance you could end up in the hospital on a fight on vacation.
I do too, but I'm still picking vacation.
What was it? A cougar attacking your dog?
Yes. Yeah. All you're trying to do is get the cougar off of your dog.
Okay? I understand that part, but we already have the end of the story, which is you end up fine because it's not after you. But in that moment, I don't know that I'm face-to-face with the cougar. That is not an experience I've had, nor do I want. I've been in fights, usually at the losing end. But I'd rather just do that.
What if it was a massive brawl instead of just a fight?
A massive brawl is easier because then you're just part of something. Yeah. You're not on
but you could
20
be
people
in that chair off the back of the head. Brawl tells me there's objects involved.
I'd rather be in a brawl. If it's vacation, people are taking pictures. I'd rather be part of a brawl.
All right.
There's multiple of us.
And of all the fights I've seen in my life, right? You're talking, I've seen some bad stuff, especially in PG County. But I mean, it's rare that I've ever, like, that's like TV fighting. Like,
chair to the back of the head.
Yeah, it's. You know, and honestly, it's kind of weird. It's in England. You see them tossing chairs all the time at each other.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I saw a guy get hit with a 40 once. Knocked him out cold.
Yeah.
But he was wearing out this dude's buddy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've told you. My buddy I went to high school with, he's a bad dude, right? Like, not in a mean way, but, like, he was a wrestler.
Yeah.
He's still a bartender, but he's, like, Mr. CrossFit, still wrestles as like, Greco-Roman as an adult. And I don't know what it was. I don't know if he had a short temper or he was shorter. People would just say stuff to him at parties. And then he just didn't mind fighting because he was good at it. But one day we walked outside and, he's wearing out this giant man. And the dude's like on his knees and he's giving him uppercuts. And we're like, let's call him Josh. So Josh, turn around. Dude hit him with a 40. Knocked him out cold.
Yeah. End of that one.
Cold.
And that was at a funeral.
Cold 45.
Yeah. But thrills, right.
Yeah. Would you rather fight a cougar off your dog or get into a fist fight on vacation? So the cougar story is out of Olympia, Washington.
I think he hears that it's on vacation.
Right.
Yeah. Because it's like fist. If it's not on vacation, I'm taking fist fight every day of the week. But now I'm picturing me with family or I'm dating some random girl. And it's like, you got to be S to me. Like, Ted, you're really going to get a fist fight on vacation?
In Disney World?
Yeah.
Come on.
If I square up, Mick.
So a dog is recovering after it was attacked by a cougar in,
knock your block off.
In Olympic National Forest. Lucas Rogers, his wife, and his dog Arlo. Oh, poor Arlo.
Arlo.
They're on a hiking trip on the Duckabush River Trail. Rogers said Arlo was...
Oh. I've done that before.
Duckabush leashed to a tree.
She took down her knickers and I had to...
Well, there's a trail. The couple prepared to sleep. He started barking at something. He was whining a little bit. I didn't think anything of it. I got up and I was like, I'll probably bring you inside here for a minute, old Arlo.
He was barking and whining.
Then I heard my wife screaming, get off, stop. It was just a bunch of screaming. I don't know what's going on. Came running back, and the last thing on my mind was that he would be pinned by a cougar. Jesus. Rogers immediately approached the animal.
That's Arlo.
Wasn't a kid. Oh, that's Arlo the dog.
Yeah, that was Arlo.
The dog. Had several wounds on his body, neck, and head. Roger said the cougar was about twice the size of Arlo. About 80 pounds worth of cougar. So that's, because the dog was 40.
15 pounds donkey. But 80 pounds
40 pounds Arlo, 80 pounds cougar. He's really tough. He literally is the champion of this. He got attacked. He was pinned to the ground. We got him off there, and Arlo is doing okay. Now, on vacation... They say things got hairy over the weekend in Texas after a Caribbean cruise.
Come on!
Two dozen people are now banned from Carnival ships ever again. Police reports that a massive brawl broke out at the port in Galveston after the cruise line's Jubilee ship docked on Saturday morning following a week-long voyage.
Jubilee!
Videos, do you think this built up during the week or this just happened by incident at the end of the trip?
Do they say why they got into a fight?
Videos of the melee are now circulating online showing groups of people shoving, punching, kicking others in the baggage area at the Galveston terminal.
There. It started there.
Yeah, if it's in the baggage area.
It's man, if it's in the baggage area, it's all about baggage.
The incident occurred in the debarkation area under the authority of U.S. Customs. So they're going through customs. And then right behind that, obviously, they're going to get their luggage. We're not going to tolerate such behavior. 24 people have been placed on our do not sail list, according to Border Patrol officials.
What they're not telling you is one on 23.
10 were detained. One was arrested. A 21-year-old from Chicago who admitting to shoving an elderly man. I believe he is facing first-degree felony charges. Someone got charged for injury to a child, elderly individual, or a disabled individual.
Jesus.
But they
What are you doing?
The $5,000 bond.
Come, I have a little class, man. Damn.
One charge of a disabled individual, an elderly individual, injury to a child as well. Yeah, good times.
Adam Kerr.
Who Sucks Last is on the way at 4:30, and we've got your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.